ask that you would have your way with us right now. I pray, Lord, that you would speak loud and clear. And I pray, Lord, that as your people, we would be wholeheartedly following you. And that we would not fall for any distractions to that cause. Lord, protect us from wasting time. Protect us from wasting our lives. We want the best. We want your best for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you ever noticed that the phone will begin ringing off the hook the moment that you and your family sit down for an evening meal? You ever notice that? It seems like that never fails. It happens all the time. It's maddening, and their calls are always solicitations. Have you noticed? Or have you ever noticed that when you sit down to have some devotional time with the Lord, when you sit down to pray or to read your Bible, that all of these distractions will begin to take place? Your next door neighbor decides to do some early morning yard work with a chainsaw. Or your dog goes on a barking fit. Or your mind just gets cluttered with all the details of life and you begin to think of all that you need to do that day and you just can't clear your mind. How frustrating that is. How tough those distractions can be. Webster tells us that a distraction is something that interrupts your focus on something necessary. It draws your attention away from something that requires your full attention. A distraction really is a form of mental confusion. You get confused. And so we should limit the distractions in our life, and we should definitely learn how to deal with potential distractions. And my brother and sister in Christ, let me tell you this morning that God has a marvelous plan for your life. He has a wonderful work that He wants to do in and through you. He has a pathway all mapped out for you, and it's glorious. But you need to understand this morning that there is an enemy who will do everything that he possibly can to distract you from following the Lord, from serving the Lord. He'll try everything he can to divert your attention, to get you on a pathway that's not God's best for your life. You must be on guard. The enemy tries to distract Nehemiah here in Nehemiah chapter 6. Remember that Nehemiah has been called for a great work. He's been called to unite the people of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. It's a work of the Lord. It's a work for the Lord. It's an important work. It's a great work. And the enemy tries to distract Nehemiah in this chapter. And you watch, Nehemiah will not allow himself to be distracted. We should do likewise. Nehemiah will face four diabolical distractions in this chapter. I want to look at two of them this morning. And we'll look at the next two next time together in part two. But let's look at two of them. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. Where Nehemiah says, "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?' But they sent me this message,
four times. And I answered them in the same manner. Folks, Nehemiah was succeeding in rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. He's been working hard. He's been supervising the people. He has succeeded in repairing the wall around Jerusalem. All that's left to do is to hang the doors and the gateways into the city. Nehemiah is almost done. He's at the end. I'm sure he can taste victory. He can see the finish line. And at that crucial time when he's about to complete the work, he gets an invitation. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, in verse 2, say, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono." Now remember, these guys were rulers of surrounding regions, and these were the guys who gave Nehemiah the hardest time throughout the project. These are the guys who were Nehemiah's thorn in the flesh. They were his greatest opposition. They gave him all the problems. And now when the work's about done, they say, "Nehemiah, meet with us in Ono. Come on down." Now, the plain of Ono was about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem, about a day's journey for Nehemiah. And it seems that these guys wanted Nehemiah to come out by himself or with a small party. And it seems that this was an offer of friendship. It seems that they wanted Nehemiah to come out and to join them in some kind of a peace treaty, a peace conference. They're wanting to become friends. They're wanting to shake hands. They're wanting to strike a deal. And I can hear them saying, "Nehemiah, you've been working so hard, you're almost at the end. I know that we've given you a big hassle all along. But you've won. You've completed. You've succeeded the work. Come on out, man. Water under the bridge. Let's make peace. Let's become friends. Let's strike a deal. Come on out to Ono." If Nehemiah would have accepted that invitation and gone out, he would have been distracted from the work. And we know that these guys had an in for Nehemiah, don't we? They wanted to do him harm. Perhaps they wanted to get him out and assassinate him. Or in the very least, take him into captivity. Take him out of the picture. My brother and sister in Christ, this is exactly how the enemy will try to distract us from following the Lord. From serving Him. From doing the work that He has called us to do. The enemy will try to get us to become friends with the world. To shake hands or make deals with the worldly system. He'll try to get us to compromise our faith, our morals, our beliefs. He will try to get us to compromise some facet of our Christian life. And folks, he'll make it look innocent. He'll make it look very appealing. But mark my words, you will be distracted and you might even be destroyed. Bad things happen on the plains of Ono. Christian testimonies get assassinated on the plains of Ono. Satan will use many different methods to try to get us to compromise, folks, to shake hands with the world. One of his most effective ways is to try to get us as Christians to take some time off. He'll come to you, Christian, and he'll say, "Hey, why don't you take a break from being a Christian? Take a vacation from being a Christian." That's what these guys here in Nehemiah chapter 6 are doing. "Hey, you've been working so hard, Nehemiah. Come on out to the fields of Ono. Get out of the office.
take a breather.
And listen, my brother and sister in Christ, Satan will come up to you when you are serving the Lord and he'll whisper into your ear, "You've been serving so hard. You've been working so hard. You've been sacrificing so much for so long. Take some time for yourself. Relax a little. Take a break. Get some R&R. This is what Satan did with Jesus in the wilderness. You remember when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness and Jesus was out there and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And Scripture says that he got hungry. And Satan basically at that time came up to Jesus and said, "Okay, Jesus, you've proved your point. You've shown your commitment. You've shown your dedication. Enough already now. You deserve a break today. Turn these stones into some Big Macs." Didn't say that. Bread. "Go ahead. Stop. Take a break. Relax." And of course, Jesus didn't comply. My brother and sister in Christ, Satan will come to you and say, "Take a break today. Let your hair down. Get away from it all." God will understand. He knows your heart. He knows how loyal you've been. He won't care if you just, you know, hang out. And then Satan will come up to you and say, "Remember how good you had it in the world? How easy it was?" And we can be very tempted with that thinking. We can start to go, yeah, I need a break. Yeah, I'm so tired. My brother and sister in Christ, listen to me this morning. Don't ever take a break from following Jesus Christ. Don't ever take a break from serving the Lord. Don't ever let your guard down. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. That's a daily command. Don't ever let your guard down. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. Amen? Retirement's heaven. And you need to understand this morning that the enemy never takes a vacation from going after you. He never takes a break. If there's one thing you see in the book of Nehemiah, it's that the enemy is relentless. He's there at the beginning, all the way through, all towards the end. Don't ever fall for that line, "You deserve a break today." How tragic it is when somebody follows the Lord all their life and at the end of their life they blow it because they let their guard down. Don't go to Ono. Don't take that vacation. Here's another method Satan will love to use. Satan would be absolutely delighted if we as Christians entered into tight relationships with worldly people. He would be delighted if you and I became best friends with worldly people. Because he knows that then we'll be distracted. If you become best friends, Christian, with somebody else who does not care about God, does not care about your walk with Christ, you will be distracted. These guys were the enemies of God and the people of God and the work of God. And now they ask Nehemiah, "Let's shake hands. Let's enter into a contract. Let's enter into a relationship that will only lead to compromise." We need to be very careful about who we pick to be our friends. Do you understand? We need to guard our friendships and our relationships very carefully. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. For Christians, we should reserve our closest friendships and relationships for brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Young single person, you should date a Christian. young high school student, you should hang out with Christians. College student, hang out with Christians. Save those relationships. We need to hang out with people who love Jesus, who will spur us on towards love and good deeds, who will encourage us in the faith. We should not enter into personal relationships with worldly people. Strong, tight. That's not to say that we shouldn't have any acquaintances with people in the world. It's not to say that we shouldn't even have any moderately good friendships with people in the world. You and I should be reaching out, amen, to people. We should be loving others and try to evangelize and share our faith with them. But you save your closest relationship for brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if you don't, if you get tight with worldly people, you'll be distracted. Now, some of you here this morning are thinking, Terry, you're wrong there. You're thinking, I can handle it. I'm my own man. I can follow the Lord Jesus Christ and still have best friends with people in the world. Well, the Bible thinks you're wrong. And in fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. That's a powerful verse. It says evil company corrupts good habits. You could have a habit in your life that's good. One that you've developed over many years. Perhaps going to church every week or reading the Bible often in prayer. And you could have that good habit in your life and start hanging out with evil company, and that good habit will be corrupted. It says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Be careful. Watch who you hang out with. And then Satan will try to get us to make friends with worldly concepts. That's an important one. He'll try to get you to go to the people in the world and agree with their policy and shake hand over various issues. And Christian, Satan will try to get you to become friends with worldly principles, concepts, or beliefs. He'll come up to you and he'll say, the Bible's a good book. It's a great book. But you only need that book for heaven. You only need to read the book when you get to heaven. It's only a heavenly book. Hey, you need some worldly advice to keep both feet on the ground here in the world. You need some street smarts. And you might buy into that. You might begin to mix worldly advice that's totally hostile to Bible. And let me tell you, that will lead you down a bunny trail. Guys, we need to be so careful about what concepts we believe. Concepts are powerful. Somebody teaches you a concept and you believe it. You know what you do? You embrace that belief and you begin to build your life upon it. And you can go a totally different direction. And unfortunately, there's been a number of worldly concepts that have even crept into the church. There's all this talk today about finding your self-esteem. You ever heard that? You need to find your self-esteem and then you'll be happy. You need to be happy about you. You need to find yourself and make yourself happy. Listen, I'm all for having a good, healthy outlook on who a person is. But the Bible does not teach self-esteem. The Bible teaches Christ's esteem. And that we as people are to find our self-esteem in Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's nothing good in of us. And we need to be dependent upon the Lord and find our esteem in Him. And then Satan will attempt to appeal to your flesh. He'll try to get you to compromise your morals with sins. He'll send temptations into your life. And he'll say, come on, a few drinks after work won't hurt. Or flirting in the office is okay. Hey, you got to find out if you still got it, right? Just do some flirting. You'd be surprised. Or it's okay if you cheat just a little bit on your timesheet. You work hard. The boss doesn't pay you enough. You earn it. And I tell you what, you begin to open that door just a little bit to compromise. And it will totally sidetrack you from walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, from God's best for you. Do not compromise with the world. Do not go to the plains of Ono. 1 John chapter 2 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of his eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brother and sister in Christ, when you feel the pull of the world on you, I'd like you to think of the plains of Ono. And I'd like you to actually say to yourself, oh no. Ono's a no-no. Don't go there. It's a distraction. It's a bunny trail. It'll take you out. I love Nehemiah's response to this distraction. In verse 2, they come and they say, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But Nehemiah says, but they thought to do me harm. Nehemiah was a man of discernment. He knew that that was smoke and mirrors. He knew that they didn't have his best in mind. He knew it. See, he was close to the Lord. He was a man of prayer. And when you're close to the Lord and when you're a man or woman of prayer, you become a discerning person. And I invite you, my brother and sister in Christ, to use some discernment. When circumstances come into your life or opportunities come into your life, pray about it. Actually, go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this something that will be a distraction to my walk with you? Or is this something that will actually enhance my walk with you? Give me discernment. Let me see. And then I love his response. Verse 3, he says, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? I love that. What a shrewd response. He didn't publicly question their motives. That could have led to all sorts of other things. He just simply said, no, I'm busy. Christian, say no. Hey, let's go out and party. No, I'm busy. And don't budge. 4 times they came to Nehemiah with this invitation. And 4 times Nehemiah said, no, I'm busy. The enemy will be persistent. He'll try to wear you down just by asking you over and over and over again. And some Christians will break down. Don't. No. 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 What don't you understand? No. Say no. And then I love what Nehemiah says here, and I want to focus on that. In verse 3, he says, so I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come. Nehemiah believed that what he was doing was the best thing that he could possibly do. It was a great work. It was a work for the Lord. And he says, I can't take time off. Oh, my brother and sister in Christ, recognize. Please recognize this morning that God has called you to a great work. It's a great work to follow Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a great work to serve the Lord, to be a witness for Him, to stand up for Him, to live your life the way He has asked you to live it. Don't give up the great work. Don't go to Ono when you've got Jerusalem. Don't get yourself consumed with the garbage of this world when you have been given the spiritual riches of Jesus Christ in heaven. Don't go after the kingdom of this world when God has called you to work in the kingdom of God. That's the great work. Why in the world would you allow yourself to get distracted? I read years ago of a missionary in China, a very capable young man who did a great job as a linguist and a diplomat in his work for the Lord. His abilities were so outstanding that one of the American companies in China tried to hire him. They offered him an attractive job with a salary to match, but he turned them down. He told them that God had sent him to China as a missionary, and that is what he was going to do. He thought that would end the matter, but instead they came back with a better offer and an increase in salary. He turned them down too, but again they came back, doubling the salary that had originally been proposed. Finally, he said to them, "It's not your salary that is too little, it's the job that is too small." Following Jesus Christ is the great work. It is the great work of your life. Do not become friends with this world. Don't fall for the lies. Recognize the methods. Say no to Ono. One more distraction. These guys don't give up. Look at verse 5. "Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king, so come therefore and let us consult together.'" They come a fifth time, and this time they come with a letter, and my friends, this letter is insidious. It's wicked. It's evil. The letter basically says, "Nehemiah, there are some rumors going on about you. People are talking about you. Everybody's saying something about you. And by the way, when somebody comes to you and says something like that, understand that they're up to no good. People are saying." And you press them. "What people? What's their names? What's their phone numbers?" "People are saying." They send this letter. Say, "Nehemiah, everybody's saying that you actually want to be the king. That you want to be the king of Jerusalem, and that you and the Jews are going to rebel. In fact, everybody's saying that you've rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem so that you can rebel. They're saying that you have commissioned prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim you as king." Nehemiah, King Artaxerxes, king of Persia, the guy in charge, he's going to find out about it. You remember, you were his cupbearer. He trusted you. He's going to find out about it, and you're going to get in big, big trouble. And it's sickening how at the end of that letter in verse 7, the last sentence, they say, "So come therefore and let us consult together. We can help." We'll consult. We'll do damage control for you, Nehemiah. We'll make the rumors go away. You know what this is? This is called slander. This is called gossip. To slander is to defame another person. Slander is a false and malicious statement injurious to another person's reputation. These guys are slandering Nehemiah's good name and trying to fill him with fear. And did you notice that it's an open letter? Usually the letters were sealed. This letter's opened. Everybody along the way could have read that letter. These guys are slandering Nehemiah's name. They're trying to get people to believe something that's false about Nehemiah, and they're trying to fill him with fear. I personally believe that slander and gossip, those are two of the most hurtful, vicious sins that a person can commit. When you slander another person, when you gossip about another person, you are essentially assassinating their character and their reputation behind closed doors, and you don't have the courage to say anything to that person to their face. You are hurting another person. And when the slander and when the gossip goes, it's out there and it spreads like wildfire and it goes out of control. And it's so damaging. There was a man who was a horrible slanderer. He was a terrible rumor monger. And this such man had told so many malicious untruths about the local rabbi that finally, overcome by remorse, he begged the rabbi to forgive him. He came to the rabbi and said, "I'm so sorry, I've spread all this horrible stuff about you. What can I do to make amends?" The rabbi sighed. He said, "Take two pillows, go to the public square, and there cut the pillows open. Wave them in the air, then come back to me." This guy went home, got two pillows and a knife, went to the square, cut the pillows, opened them, waved them in the air, came back to the rabbi. "I did just what you said, Rabbi." "Good." The rabbi smiled. "Now to realize how much harm is done by gossip, go back to the square and collect all your feathers." Slander and gossip, defaming other people's names. And I want you to know, my brother and sister in Christ, that slander and gossip can be one of the most diabolical distractions that you will ever face to your serving the Lord, to you working for the Lord. I love how Nehemiah responded. In verse 8, he says, "Then I sent to him saying, 'No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart.' For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying, 'Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done.' Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Notice that Nehemiah just simply denied it and moved on. Nehemiah knew in his heart he wasn't trying to be king. He hadn't rebuilt those walls so that he could be king. And no doubt Nehemiah could have gone out there and tried to provide a point-by-point defense of his case and go out and try to defend his name. Nehemiah could have said, "I'll go and I'll talk to everybody who I think might have been told. I'll even contact the king, Artaxerxes, and say, 'Hey king, there's this rumor going around. I just want to let you know that it's not true. It's not really me. I didn't say that.'" He didn't do that. He just denied it. See, people who slander and gossip, they usually don't care about you defending your case. All they want to do is distract you and bring harm. Listen to me very carefully. Brother and sister in Christ, you may be serving the Lord with all of your heart and living a life of integrity and trying to walk faithfully before the Lord. And there might be some unbelievers in your family or in your office or among your group of friends that don't like you serving the Lord. And they begin to invent things about you and slander you and gossip about you. And you might be defended to go out and say, you might be tempted to go out and defend your name. I'm going to go clear things up. Don't. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. You'll go out and try to clear up everything and meanwhile stop doing what God has called you to do. Or here's a tough one. You may be serving the Lord with all your heart, walking in integrity, doing all that you can to serve Him, and other Christians begin to gossip about you or slander or misrepresent you. And again, you might be tempted to go out and defend your name. Don't. It's a distraction. Nehemiah just simply denied it. Nehemiah knew that he has no control. Who has control over that? One of Benjamin Franklin's proverbs from Poor Richard's Almanac wisely says, "Since I cannot govern my own tongue, though within my own teeth, how can I hope to govern the tongues of others?" What are you going to do? Just keep serving the Lord. Follow Him regardless of what people at work say about you or people in your family. Don't be distracted. Nehemiah recognized that that was a tool of the enemy to get him to stop work. Verse 9, he says, "They were all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done." And then Nehemiah, true to style, true to form, gives one of those arrow prayers. You know, those quick shoot them up real fast. He says, "For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, please strengthen my hand. Shoot the arrow up." Because, friends, that can be scary. That can be tough. That can be difficult. And at times like that, you just need to put your case in the hands of God. Say, "Lord, you be my defense. I'm putting this matter in your hands." But don't be distracted. By the way, did you know that the devil is called the accuser of the brethren? Did you know that the devil is the ultimate slanderer? He loves to go out and slander you. Run to Jesus Christ. Give Him that problem. Let Him be your defense. Don't run around on all these bunny trails chasing down rumors. Just serve Jesus Christ. Amen? Spurgeon said, "It often happens when the devil cannot ruin a man by getting him to commit sin, he attempts to slander him. He sends a hawk after him and tries to bring him down by slandering his good name. I will give you a piece of advice," he says. "I know a good minister now who's at an older age who once was most villainously lied against and slandered by a man who hated him only for truth's sake. The good man was grieved. He threatened the slanderer with a lawsuit unless he apologized. The man did apologize, but the slander was more believed than if he would have said nothing about it." And he goes on to say, I've learned this lesson, to do with the slanderous hawk what the little birds do. Just fly up. Just fly up. The hawk cannot do them any hurt while they keep above him. It's only when they come down that he can injure them. It is only when by mounting he gets above the birds that the hawk comes sweeping down upon them and destroys them. If any slander you, Christian, do not come down to them, let them slander on. And put your case in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that God has a wonderful plan for your life, my brother and sister in Christ? Do you believe that? Do you believe that He has a highest pathway for you to walk in? He does. And the enemy is hard at work to distract you. Don't fall for it. Don't make friends with the world. Don't let slander or gossip or misrepresentation distract you. Serve the Lord. Stay on task. There's a story involving Yogi Berra, the well-known catcher for the New York Yankees, and Hank Aaron, who at that time was the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves. The teams were playing in the World Series, and as usual, Yogi was keeping up his ceaseless chatter, intended to pep up his teammates on the one hand and distract the Milwaukee batters on the other. As Aaron came to the plate, Yogi tried to distract him by saying, Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark. Aaron didn't say anything, but when the next pitch came, he hit it into the left field bleachers. After rounding the bases and tagging up at home plate, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and said, I didn't come up here to read. Follow Christ. Stay true to Him. May your focus be on Him. Though the enemy chatters, though all these distractions and temptations come into your life, serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You would protect us, Lord, from the distractions that come our way. Father, I pray that we would embrace those things that would enhance our relationship with You, not distract. I ask, Lord, that we would be so careful about the relationships that we become involved in. I ask, Lord, that You would provide strong Christian friendships for Your people. I pray for anyone here this morning who perhaps feels alone in their walk with Christ. I ask, Lord, that You would give them the desire to begin to reach out to their brothers and sisters and to make friends. I pray for anyone here this morning who's tempted to take a break. To let their guard down. Oh, Lord, encourage them to keep their guard up. And then, Father, I pray that none of us would be distracted by rumors, false things perhaps being said about us. Lord, let's just find our absolute security and strength and courage in knowing You. So grateful for all the wonderful things You have in store for us. Don't let us get off track. Don't let us get diverted. In Jesus' name, amen.